Good morning. Hey, how are you guys doing? Good. Good. So glad to see all you guys here today. And so glad if you've joined us online, watching on your TV out there in TV land or on your device. Glad you're joining us too. We get about the at least the same number of people out there as we get in here. So welcome. I want to talk to you real quick about something. We have been making some videos, and there's a specific purpose to these videos. When we first started to do our live stream, the main purpose was, people can't come to church, so we want to give them as much of the experience of being here as possible. That was our original idea. And so that has kind of morphed into something else, which kind of needed to happen, which is, how can we reach more people rather than just our own congregation through our internet, through the our live services, and beyond, and other things. So what we started to do, and Pastors Tim and Val Coleman started to make these videos, which are they're videos about just different subjects that people might want to ask about, maybe people that are seeking, and they might type in something like, who is God, or why is the Bible real, or this one that you're going to see in just a minute, science and the Bible. So they're really short, and they're basically to get people's interest, and so we give them a link to that if they are seeking God, that they can get on our website. So we just want to show this video to you, give you an example of what we're doing, and then I'll give you a little bit of instruction after that. So go ahead, guys.
Do Christians believe in science? There's a false narrative that's been gaining traction in our culture that claims that Christians don't believe in science. Sadly, for some, the goal of this narrative is to make Christians appear ignorant. So I wanted to take a minute to talk about this. How do science and faith intersect in the life of a Christian? The reality is most Christians aren't science deniers. But we do believe that science doesn't explain everything in life and that science doesn't have all the answers we need in life. We need to keep in mind that science itself is nothing more than a method of discovery. By definition, science should be neutral. It's neither good nor bad, moral or immoral, right or wrong. Science is nothing more than a methodology. So in a sense, science itself is never right or wrong. Scientists, however, are human beings, and humans are fallible. Sometimes their conclusions are correct, but also sometimes they're wrong. Scientists sometimes come to the wrong conclusions, and they often enter their study with the wrong set of assumptions. This is why two scientists can look at the exact same evidence and come up with two totally different conclusions. One scientist looks at the universe and says God doesn't exist. Another scientist looks at the universe and says that the universe is proof that God does exist, in agreement with Psalm 19:1, which says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." So applying the scientific method has produced wonderful results in such things as weather prediction, medications, healthcare, modern communication technologies such as this camera that I'm recording with right now, and whatever device that you're using to watch this video. Scientific discovery is amazing, and science has great value to humankind. But what about things that are simply unknowable through science alone? There are those who would say, until something is scientifically proven, I won't believe it exists. But is it possible that something can exist even if it hasn't been proven to exist? Of course it is. It was centuries before scientists knew that viruses existed, but that didn't mean they didn't exist. So it's completely reasonable to believe in something that hasn't been proven through scientific discovery. This is where faith comes in. just because we cannot measure or conduct an experiment does not mean something is not real. In these areas of life, we use faith. Science is important, but faith is also vitally important to humankind because it enables us to connect with God. For many of you, starting a relationship with God is just a prayer of faith away. If you will take just a small step of faith toward God, He will prove Himself to you. Jesus said this. He said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." So I invite you today, listen to your heart and reach out to God. Even if you can't see Him, reach out to Him in faith and He will answer your prayer.
All right, wasn't that great? Yeah. You know, it takes a lot of time to do a video like that and all of the editing and everything, and it's just so well done. And they have plans to make many of these videos. So what we would like you guys to do, both here and online, whenever you get around to it, to get onto Facebook, to the church's page on Facebook, and share this video, and there will be other videos coming out. The more we share it out there, the more people are going to see it. So we want people to see this. They get steered towards God, and then maybe they might check out a live service online. Maybe they'll look at our New to Faith page on our website. We want to share the gospel in as many ways as we can, and this is just another way. Can you say amen to that? Yes, yes. So I just wanted to make sure that you were aware of that. So yesterday was an exciting day for me, an exciting day for my wife, an exciting day for our daughter and her husband, because Alyssa had a baby yesterday. Yeah, and baby Emmeline. And so she was, 7 pounds, 14 ounces, born at 2:37 p.m., so in the afternoon. So anyway, everybody's doing good, and thank you for your prayers. And so we're very excited about that, and she's super, super cute. No joke, probably the cutest kid you've ever seen, I think, unless it was one of my other grandkids, but... Yeah, Pastor Tim and Janice, they're waiting this week. No, Janice is not having a baby, but their daughter is, so that's this week. Yes, that's still to come. All right, so I want to talk today about kingdom people and what kingdom people need to be about, all right? And so who are those kingdom people? So when we're talking about kingdom people, we're talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Those two phrases are synonymous: kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Okay, and the kingdom of God is a spiritual rule over the hearts and lives of those who willingly submit to God's authority. So, if you're one of those people and you've willingly submitted to God's authority, then this is you. So we are all born of the flesh, as the Bible says. Just like baby Emmeline was just born of the flesh, and one day Emmeline will need to choose to answer the call of the Spirit of God, like we all do, and at some point in her life, and willingly submit to God. So I don't think you guys have this scripture, but it's John 3:5-8. I just want to read this really quick. Jesus answered, he's talking to Nicodemus, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to what?" Spirit, I know you're out there. Spirit gives birth to Spirit. Thank you very much. I know you're there. Here we go. "You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." It's a mystery. It's an absolute mystery, this whole being born again thing, okay? But it means the person has been cleansed and purified by God's Spirit. And if you've never heard that before, you might have heard the term born again. And it gets thrown around and people think different things about that. But it means that God makes you brand new on the inside by his Spirit, okay? Now, if you have submitted your life to Christ, as I mentioned, and you've asked him into your life, then you are a part of the kingdom of God. You are a kingdom person, okay? All right. So as kingdom people, what are we to be about? And I originally called this message, Get Back. One more Beatles reference. But because, you know, in these days, we as kingdom people, we need to re-engage in the church. And it's going to be more of an effort for some than others. But we need to start to begin to change our mindset a little bit as things begin to open up again in our because of the pandemic. And so I want to talk a little bit about that today. And if you've never engaged in the church, I want to show you how to do that, why that's a really good idea. I want to talk about that today. And if you've, and maybe you've been watching online this whole time and you're thinking, well, maybe I should start getting back to church. That'd be great. We'd love to see you here. And I'm going to talk about that just a little bit. All right, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, familiar portion of scripture to some of us, says this, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. It's funny, 2,000 years ago, the writer of Hebrews said, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And here, 2,000 years later, we are feeling the same thing. It feels like things are happening so fast that the day of the Lord, or when Christ returns, is coming closer and closer, almost at a quickening pace, like it's a snowball effect. And so we as kingdom people are submitted to Jesus Christ. We're called to build up, encourage, and serve one another. Everybody say, build up, encourage, and serve one another. Yes. Now, we had a difficult time doing that. Some of us did. It wasn't impossible. So I am going to go through this last year, and I know you've heard these things, and you're probably like, oh, do we have to hear this again? But I'm just going to catch us all up again. But I really want us to think about what effect it might have had on your life in regard to the church, our church, this church body, and locally and throughout the world. So we couldn't meet as a church for several months. Our worship team would gather here, and we'd do a live online service. And so we had to do that for several months, and that was difficult for everybody. We had stay-at-home orders for much of the spring, all these phrases, these words that have become part of our society. Most everything was online. You know, some of you have underlying health issues, and so it was difficult for you to attend church once we started attending church again. And some of you are still at home because of those underlying health conditions. And so, yeah, that's just the way it is. And so we're just working through those things, and you're working through those things. But I want to talk just a little bit about one of the things that happened through this last year is this, another buzzword is isolation. Isolation that came from COVID restrictions, it can do some really strange things to our minds, okay? And I just want to list a few. When people are isolated, they can obviously become lonely. You're all by yourself, okay? When people are isolated, sometimes they don't make good health decisions. I don't know. I think a lot of us ate really well this last year, things I shouldn't have eaten. But when people are isolated, they can become emotional. You know, that can come out in anger. It can come out in judging other people. It can come out in feeling helpless. saying things you later regret. All these things can happen. And when people are isolated, they can feel like they aren't needed anymore. And that's just not true. That's just not true. But isolation can do that. It can do some strange things to your head. And according to the Health Affairs website, isolation can contribute towards poor mental health, leading to depression. And during COVID, the website states isolation caused an increase in substance abuse, suicides, and domestic violence. I thought this was interesting. All you guys remember Michael Phelps, the swimmer, right? Do you guys remember Michael Phelps? Okay, I know he's there. Michael Phelps, if you're at home, you say, yes, okay, Michael Phelps. Yes, we were all cheering him on several Olympics in a row. The guy really is an amazing, amazing athlete. And I thought this was interesting. In an interview with ESPN, the Olympic swimmer Michael Phelps opened up about his personal battle with depression. Now, I think he kind of struggles with that kind of a thing anyway. And it says it has been one of those months, he says, nonstop, my mood jumping up and down and all around. The pandemic has been one of the scariest times I've been through, Phelps told ESPN. I'm thankful that my family and I are safe and healthy. I'm grateful we don't have to worry about paying bills or putting food on the table like so many other folks right now, but still, I'm struggling. So here's a guy. He's got the money, he's got shelter, he's got food, he's got a great family, and he still struggles mentally, okay? So this is a real thing. And I got to say, I had my own struggles through this year, and I'll talk about that in just a little bit. But mentally, it just changed things, and it changed how you had to think in a lot of areas of life, okay? And I'm going to go back to our theme scripture, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. So what I want to say is, as kingdom people, we're designed by God to be together. So no matter how much you've been alone, we're designed to be together. You know, we're not supposed to be by ourselves all the time. It's best for us. So again, that scripture says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So some of you were able to accomplish serving and encouraging others, as the scripture says, through the pandemic. You know, we had all the fires, crazy, crazy time, still affecting some of you. But many of you took that opportunity to help other people. And I saw so many different things. I saw some of you housed different people. You helped us deliver water several times. You delivered food. Many of you just helped financially. You helped lots and lots of people. And that's being a kingdom person. That's thinking of others and loving others and getting out there and serving other people. And many of you did that. And so that was a good opportunity for us to do that. Many of you wrote cards to people. So that was great. And as things open back up, we have come to understand how much we really need each other. And I got to say, even you introverts, which I am one, I have mentioned before, people say, how can you be an introvert? It's so much easier for me to be on a stage, because I've done it my whole life, since I was little almost, then go into a room of strangers. And because, you know, I've learned how to do that, and I've learned, you know, things to ask people, things like that. But being an introvert, it's easy just to withdraw. But as introverts, you have had to see and feel this last year that you need people. No matter who you are, you really do. And they need you, by the way. Pastor Ben mentioned last week that it felt like our lives kind of went on pause. And then he said it went on pause, but then it was like fast forward or something like that. that is kind of how it felt. And in reality, so much did take place. And I think that as believers in Christ, we grew in ways that are going to show up later. You probably think, wow, I was just trying to make it last year. Just trying to make it. And I got to say for myself, probably the biggest thing is that I'm a planned person. I love structure. Okay? Love it. And I love to make a plan, and then I can leave that plan. That's no problem. But if I don't have any plan at all, and I can't really make a plan because I don't know what's going to happen, I don't know what we're going to be allowed to do as a church, and that's a lot of my life and has been my life for many years and events and things like that. But it's, that was just so hard for me. That took me a while to just get into some kind of a way of thinking that was different than I used to think. And many of you probably had different challenges in that way, that you were like, well, I'm not sure how to handle this. I don't know what's going to happen next. Are we going to be able to go to the store? Am I going to be able to, certainly we haven't been able to go to many of the entertainment kinds of things we used to do. You know, we're used to doing all those things. Movies, I think the theater just opened back up. I mean, that's just many, many things that we all have had to deal with. And what I want to say is that even though you feel like this last year might have been super tough, you just tried to make it, I think that you probably grew more than you know. And I want to give a little example. You know, I moved to the country in Eagle Point, and we've discovered many new things. One thing I found out was ground squirrels. Used to think they were cute. I don't know more. I don't like ground squirrels. They make a mess, and in a lot of different ways. And I mean, you know, gophers, moles, voles, which I'd never even heard of. Now I know what they are, because I got them. And I'm in the process of learning how to get rid of these crazy things. But, I'm not really the kind of person that really uses the word critters. I say that like several times a day, because, and it's not in a complimentary fashion, I don't like critters. I hate them. And I'm on the warpath, I'll just tell you, against critters. Anyway, but there was something else when we moved into our place. Is there was a garden that was there. And when I got there, I didn't really like where it was set up. And it looked all overgrown when I first got there. And I got to say, I haven't had a garden since I was a little kid and my parents had a garden. Okay, I just haven't had one. And it was it looked all overgrown, and I was like, wow, you know, so we're going to have to, another thing, you know, we're going to need to clean this up. But really, the opposite was true, because the plants were so healthy that they had kind of grown into each other a bit. And so we had all kinds of tomatoes, zucchini, cucumbers, all that kind of stuff. And like I say, not since I was a kid, and we kind of lived out on a farm. And I was able to go out and pick, you know, food for dinner. I haven't been able to do that, so that was kind of fun. But it didn't look like, it looked like a big mess. But really, it wasn't a big mess. They had actually kept the plants really healthy and worked hard at it, and that's just the way it looked. And so, though there were, you know, some weeds and overgrown plants, there was a big crop. And I think that we're going to find that in the months to come, that though we feel like this last year has been a bit of a mess, a little messy, I think you're going to find as time goes on that you grew, okay? And you're going to find it at different times as you go through your life. So I just kind of want you to think about that. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35 says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." All right, love one another. Real love. And it's a choice. It's a mindset. And as we return to kind of getting together as a church, maybe you'll start attending, you know, maybe we'll have more church-related events like we used to have, which we really had to scale back on. You know, and just plain old-fashioned good fellowship, you know. Let's make a concerted effort to love one another. And this is just a little bit of a side note I wanted to mention. As a pastor for many, many years, worship pastor most of the time, and an associate pastor, I had to learn really quick to forgive easily. Because if you're in the ministry and you don't forgive easily, you will not last, and you're going to be out real quick. You just can't hold on to things, and you'll find, and I just want to encourage you in this, that as we begin to be around people more again, forgive easily. Don't let something somebody says, you know, ruin your day. Just forgive. Just say, Lord, I forgive. I want to love. You know, pray for that person. That really does help. You know, it sounds cliche, but it really does help to have that come out of your mouth, you know, for the Lord to bless that person. So I just want to encourage you in that. Forgive easily as we kind of get back. And it's easy through the pandemic. It was easy to find fault in other people. But, you know, let's not hold grudges. We're going to forgive. We're going to help people out. We're in this together. And we've all had to overcome things, as I mentioned. Constant change, not seeing loved ones, not going on vacations. You know, I've hardly been able to see my mom because she's, you know, she's in her 80s. And I love my mom, but it's hard to go see her. And my siblings, I won't go deep into this, they keep an eye on how many times I go see my mother. So, yeah, anyway, that's a whole nother matter. But love all my siblings. You know, there was constant change. You know, you didn't get to go on vacations like you used to do. You know, obviously wearing masks. Sometimes it felt like there was government overreach at times. Maybe some of you felt that. Maybe some of you didn't. Sometimes you felt helpless about decisions that were made by the government. There was nothing you could do about it, whether you agreed or disagreed. That was just the way it was. And, you know, some of you lost jobs. Some of you lost businesses. But listen, guys, we're the church. You're not alone. You're not alone. And if you're a kingdom person, you have access to the church. You have access to all of these wonderful people. Yeah, the church is awesome. You know, when you became a Christian, if you became a Christian a little bit later in life, you probably realized that right away. It was like all of a sudden you had all of these brothers and sisters, you know. All of a sudden you had this big family. Well, it's real. It's a real thing. But if you stay isolated, it's tough. You know, it's tough. So if you have to be isolated because of something physical, okay, you know, hey, you got to do what you got to do for sure. But if you have opportunity to start re-engaging, then that's what you need to do, okay? So I'm just going to give a few things here. Let's get back. Let's engage. If you've been disconnected from the church, let's start thinking about reconnecting with people, okay? So how can you do that? So this is just real simple stuff. Number one, just get involved with the church. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that same scripture, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. So attend church if possible. Attend church if possible. If you can come, please do. This is an awesome place. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. There's an incredible group of people here, and I know that many of you online would love to reconnect or to connect for the first time with some of these people. And the second thing is to join a life group or small group ministry. I'm going to talk about that just for a second. If there's one thing today as far as reconnecting, it's the word small group. Because no matter, actually before this thing ever happened, but we realize how important it is now, it's just crucial to be in a small group. So Many of you are. I see you in small groups. Some of you are starting to do Bible studies again, women's Bible studies. Men, I see men gathering for men's Bible studies. There are life groups of all different kinds that Kayla is in charge of. The life group wall is out there to my left, your right, against the wall there. And there's going to be somebody out there today if you want to talk about getting involved in a life group. There's all different kinds. It's all about people getting together, okay? There's different ministries you can get involved in. Ushers, greeters, you know, there's a long list. If you go out to the Welcome Center, there's all kinds of information out there. There's going to be somebody out there to help you today. And so there's ways to get involved. Small group. And what I consider a small group, so many ministries in the church that it would be considered a small group. That's just people you can connect with, people you can pray for, people that can pray for you, people that you can encourage, people that can encourage you, people that can challenge you. You can challenge them. You know, it's so healthy. It's how we're created, and it's what we need to be about as kingdom people, small groups. So if you're sitting there and you're thinking, I'm just not sure, just go out to the life group wall or to the welcome center wall, or there's a card right in front of you. Just write what you're thinking. If you're not sure what you want to get involved in, but you want to get involved, just write that. And then somebody will get back a hold of you. Just put that card. You can either hand it to an usher or you can put it in one of the giving boxes back there that are just on the back wall. Just drop it in there. Okay? So we just want you to be healthy. We want you to be healthy and get connected with people because it's so, so good for you. And the last part was serve in a ministry like I just talked about. And I had Kayla write down a few things for me. I'm just going to read through them real quick. She said, join a life group, serve in children's ministry. Pastor Ben would love that. Hang out with the teens on Wednesday nights. Become an usher or greeter. Serve coffee on Sundays. That's a simple thing. Attend Monday night prayer meetings. That's a small group. You can get to know people there Monday nights right here. Serve food to the homeless on Saturdays with OTD. It's Open the Door. Thank you. Thank you. Open the Door Ministries. Bring a friend to the new to faith class starting April 14th. Talk to Pastor Ben about helping with the day camp this summer. That's an easy one. In August, there's a day camp, and he just needs all kinds of volunteers. So there's lots and lots of things. So I'm going to jump to the next thing, which is number two is be kind. Now you're going to go, well, duh, of course, be kind. But that makes such a difference. I just noticed for some reason, probably because I've had some people be rude to me over this last year. And when somebody's nice, somebody's kind, somebody goes out of their way, I really notice. And I say something. I don't know when this was, a few months back, I decided I'm going to tell somebody if they did a good job or they're extra kind to me. And I'm going to give a few examples. And I'm going to name just these three businesses because it's just a good thing. All I'm saying is that the experience I had with these businesses was extra great. And so a lady at a landscape company, which is the company was Ground Control. I went there. I kind of live out that direction. So I'd never been there before. I really wasn't sure what products I'd need. The gal there was super helpful, really nice, and she made sure that I understood the products, and then another guy came in, and he helped me, and then when I went out with my truck to get the materials that I needed, you know, they didn't treat me like I didn't know what I was talking about. They didn't treat me anything like that. They were super nice, and so I went back in, and I told that gal, I said, you know, I've had some rude service lately, but not here. I said, you have been very, very kind to me, and I want to thank you for that. So another place I went to, Fred Meyer gas station. Now, they got a bunch of younger people there. I was there the other day. A younger person was there, really gave me some great service, was very respectful when you get my age. It's kind of nice. Anyway, I appreciated that, and I said that to him. I was on the phone the other day with somebody from another state about my TV service. I'm sure you guys have had these phone calls. Lots of fun. You're usually on there for an hour and a half, whatever it is. And this person was so helpful. It was Spectrum. I don't know what any experience you guys have had, but for the time that I called, this gal was so nice and so helpful, so tried to make me understand what she was saying, and I had to say, thank you so much for being kind. I appreciate that so much. So that's, as we're coming back, guys, be kind to one another. Be kind to one another. Say hi to those you don't know. Even if you're an introvert, say hi. How can you go wrong with that? I don't think you can. You know, don't be in a huge rush to leave. I know that some of you do that. And I'm not blaming you for that. Probably if I hadn't taught myself all these years how to connect with people all the time, you know, that's what I would do. But I just want to encourage you, you know, challenge you a little bit. Try not to run out of here super fast. Maybe talk to somebody. Maybe just kind of get a conversation going. That'd be great. Connect with church people outside church time. That's another great thing. You know, maybe invite somebody to lunch. If somebody asks you to lunch, this might be crazy for me to say this, but some of you are such introverts that if somebody asks you to lunch, you'll come up with an excuse not to go. So why don't you go? That would be great. And then you'd meet a new friend. Okay. So we're going to get through this together. Side by side, encouraging one another, exhorting one another, helping one another. If I can have the worship team come up, that'd be great. We're going to love one another. And all the more as we see the return of Christ drawing near. I think I can see it. I think I can see it over the horizon. And it can be a scary time or it can be super exciting when we see that God has all things under control and we follow him every step of the way and that you're not alone. We are the church. We're here for each other. So reconnecting, small groups, getting out of your comfort zone a little bit, you know, let's get to know some people. Help other people to get to know other people. Introduce somebody to somebody else. Yeah. God is going to rebuild. God is going to restore and do a new thing. And it's going to be us together, better together, getting back to being better than ever. And as far as just getting back, actually, our church has done fantastic. When you compare our church, just let's just say to a lot of churches, we've stayed pretty healthy. And thanks to Pastor Tim, who's here just enjoying the service today, let's give him a hand for getting us through this crazy time. Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to serve one another. We're going to help one another. We're going to pray for one another. And Jen, if you could just play just a little bit for me there. Now, as I'm talking about kingdom people and being a kingdom person, if you're here today or you're here online and you're like, I don't have all these people. What do you mean, the church? You just don't get it. Well, you're not, the reason why you don't get it yet, it's not really your fault. It's that that scripture I read at the beginning about being born again. That's where your mind gets changed. That's where all of a sudden it's like, wow, all of a sudden you can see that God loves you. He's for you. And though we're all imperfect, yes, we have a perfect God who loves us and he loves you so very, very much today. And if you're watching today and you've never experienced God and his son, Jesus, Today's your day. Today's your day. You might be in this building. So I'm going to pray a prayer. And if that's you today and you feel like, well, I want to get to know God. I want to be a kingdom person. I want to be a part of the church. Then I just want you to pray this with me. So, Lord, we just come before you today. Lord, there are some of us here that and online that may not know you in a real way. But, Lord, you want to reveal yourself to us, Lord God. The Bible says, the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. But Lord, the Son is Jesus Christ, who came to save us. And Lord, all you're asking is that we say yes. So Lord, for those today that need you for the first time, I'm just going to pray a simple prayer. Dear Jesus, I want to know you. I want to know you're real. And I want to know what it is to be a kingdom person. I want to know what it is to be affiliated with some amazing people. But the bottom line, Lord, is I want to know you. So I ask you to come into my life, forgive me of my sins, change me from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. All right. So let's stand up. We're going to sing kind of a upbeat song that a few of us wrote not too long ago. And it's about being the church. It's about being winners. Conquerors, warriors, and so we're all in this together, and that's what the song is. So, let's do it.